Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
My name's Philip Flores. I am the practitioner of the day. Any of us that you see wearing a stole are prayer practitioners here at CSL. There's plenty of ways where you can receive prayer here. You'll see them up here on this slide. And go ahead and join me for this opening invocation. So hello. Hello, Spirit. Hello, CSL Bellingham. Hello, love. And I welcome this power of love, this power of connection, this power of oneness, right here, right now, as we gather and sound louder and appreciate the power that is surrounding us in each and every moment. So I open up my heart, I open up my awareness, I open up my love to this moment, to this time, and welcome the powerful words that Reverend Deborah will share with us today in regards to love. So welcome, hello, CSL Bellingham, and so it is.
So today we start our journey. It's a month-long journey into various aspects of love. And trying to understand love more deeply by its foundations. And one thing we'll discover, if not already known, is that love begins inside of us. It's an inside job. And then it moves out into the world. And then the world starts to reflect that love back to you. It's a giving and receiving process. And so the promise of this month-long journey, if you'll hang out with us on it, is that you're going to develop deeper connections with other people as well as experience a more compassionate world. So anybody want to go on the trip with me? Okay! I'm reading this beautiful book by Thich Nhat Hanh. Perhaps some of you have read it. It's The Teachings of Love. Just a beautiful meditative journey with a lot of practical suggestions as well. So Thich Nhat Hanh was a Vietnamese Buddhist monk. He was a poet, a scholar, and a human rights activist. He was a young adult, middle-aged adult in Vietnam during the war. And he was kicked out of the country because he would not support either side. So that's what Buddhist teachings will do for you. But he was nominated for the Martin Luther King Jr. Nobel Peace Prize. And he's author of many, many books, led many retreats worldwide, taught the world this mindfulness practice. And he passed in 2022 in his mid-90s. So he said that happiness is only possible with true love. And in the Buddhist tradition, it has the power to heal and to transform any situation we find ourselves in. And it brings us deep meaning. So as I said, he has the explanation, but then he teaches us how to embody it and take all this deeper. He has a section in his book where he says, we have to heal the word love. That he said, sometimes words get sick. Because in the West, we use this word love to mean many things. Basically to indicate preference. I love chocolate. I love taking a walk. I love is kind of a term of preference. Now, that's not love in the Buddhist tradition. Love is an actual energy field that you carry in yourself, and it makes you stronger and helps you care for the well-being of not only yourself, but other people and other living beings on our planet. We all need love, and we all need to love. Again, the giving and receiving, it's a cycle. So we have the capacity to love and to understand each other, but perhaps we just haven't taken the time to truly get into this deeper nature of love. So that's the invitation this morning. Studying love can help us discover the elements that make up true love and allow us to develop deeper love for ourselves at the beginning. And it's such a vast subject. And so I'm going to just touch on certain things today. I'm going to share a couple of practices that you can test out for yourself, because this is all about proving it to yourself that there is a different experience that can be called love, but truly is a power force. To change how your life, how you're experiencing your life. So, as you can tell, I have an archetype of teacher. It's my form of ministry. So you're going to get two PowerPoint slides during my talk. To satisfy the teacher part of me, anyway. So we're going to bring that first slide up. These are the principles that Thich Nhat Hanh calls the four immeasurable minds. And we translate them more in English in the easier way, the four elements of true love. So that's what I'll use to call them. But the first is loving. And he preferred just the word loving, but loving kindness is certainly strong in the Buddhist tradition. It's the desire to offer happiness. The next element is compassion, the desire to remove suffering from other people. Third is joy, the desire to bring joy to other people around you and then allow their happiness to bring you joy. And equanimity, it's the desire to accept everything and not discriminate. Now, this is maybe a harder one, because you love because loving beings need your love. Not because they're a friend or a part of your family or part of your nation or part of your religion. You're loving without discrimination and practicing true love. That's the challenge, and we'll get into that a little bit better. But as you can take on these elements of consciousness, you're going to begin to live a beautiful and peaceful and joyous life, because you are creating that force field around you and learning to love and be loved. And it can be so simple. I'll tell you a story, because I'm consciously choosing love. But a couple of weeks ago, I woke up, wasn't really very awake yet. But I was dressed, and I went out to my front yard, and I was picky-poking around, you know, deadheading flowers and that kind of thing, and looked down the street, and I saw my neighbor, and sometimes you can just feel it, you know, when somebody kind of would love attention or love to connect somehow. And because I was just beginning my day and I had a long list of stuff. I thought, oh, no, no. And though I was pulled, go talk to her. And so I did. I walked down, you know, a couple of houses down and just chatted with her about her flowers, about her yard, about what she wanted to change in her yard. It was not about the talking, right? It was about listening, smiling, witnessing, and essentially silently saying, you are worthy. You are valuable. I enjoy connecting with you. And she started to beam. And it doesn't take very much time. That was not a long thing. But we both felt like we'd started our day, I'm assuming, because of the way she looked, that she also felt what I felt, which was this is a great way to start a day, just with a little moment of connection, a little moment of love. Very, very simple. Just remembering to do it. Let it become a pattern. So this philosophy is very much in alignment with the science of mind philosophy. And in science of mind, you hear a lot, God is all there is and God is love. So it does raise the question, how could we say that someone or something is not of God or is not of spirit? And that's based on this core belief in science of mind that everyone has the divine spark within us. That connection to all that is, that connection to life itself is planted in all of us. And so we love the spark in ourselves and acknowledge the spark in other people. Isn't that what namaste is all about? Is acknowledging the divine in each person. And so the question is, why would we put limits on the wonderful variety of ways of being God that are different from ourselves? Except that we are all doing that, right? We all have this element of judgment or comparison or not that one, but maybe this one. So that also is part of the duality that we live in. And it takes practice to truly create the new pattern of seeing the spark in everybody. So these four elements of love, they're not something you attain and then you just statically are in it. I wish that was the case. But it's something that we practice so it becomes more regularly the state of consciousness we're in. And we remember, oh, I can choose love. I can choose connection. I can choose compassion rather than judgment or isolation or loneliness in this moment. And so every day we can get into a deeper embodiment of love, actually feeling it in our body, living it in our body. So let's go into this a little bit deeper with some quotes from this book. Here's the first one. It's about practicing. The Buddha taught that it's possible to live 24 hours a day in a state of love. Every movement, every glance, every thought, every word can be infused with love. Okay, so this is a wonderful ideal to live. And there are people who do it, who have accomplished it. But it can be challenging, it can be daunting. And so that's why we practice it. That's why we do exercises that come out of the Buddhist tradition to teach us how to live more deeply, how to more automatically respond in a loving way. And so let's look at, just about there, I'll get a new slide for you in just a moment. I want to do one more quote. And this is, if we learn ways to practice love, compassion, joy, and equanimity, we will know how to heal the illnesses of anger and sorrow, insecurity and sadness, hatred and loneliness, and unhealthy attachments. So that's a big promise, isn't it? It truly is a life-changing promise. So let's go to the next slide. So as I say, it isn't just something you say, I'm going to be loving now. I'm going to be compassionate now. It's a practice, definitely a practice. So here is one practice for our talk today. And there's not just a single practice, but here's a place to start. And that's using affirmations throughout your day as a daily practice so that they're available and ready for you when you hit a challenge in your life. And you might pick one practice a day, one affirmation a day. But as you move through them, that then becomes a new pattern for your responding to what's happening to you in your life. Now, these are examples of words, but it's basically showing the intention, and you would use the words that feel right for you. These words are coming out of the Buddhist tradition, and they're beautiful words. And I have a few copies of this slide available, so come up and see me afterwards if you would like to get a written copy of this. So, in the element of love, repeat daily whenever you can, may all beings experience acceptance, trust, sufficiency, and safety. Develop that as a daily practice, and then it's going to be available to you when something difficult comes up, because it'll be in your mind already. Compassion. When you see someone struggling, regardless if you know the story or the details, you don't need to know that. You can just quietly say to yourself, I see your struggle and suffering. I have also struggled and suffered. And I extend my heart of care to you, as I know this does not feel good. May your struggle and your suffering pass soon. So I can imagine doing this just as I see someone on the street. I can see saying this when I see terrible tragedies occurring in the world. I can send this out almost as a prayer to the world. Joy. Start each day with the question, what joy can come today? And it's not an attempt to plan or program joy. It's an invitation to the possibility that joy can happen for you today in some wonderful and surprising way. Again, programming yourself to invite joy into your life. And finally, equanimity. As often as you can, state in your mind, at this moment, I trust God or Spirit or Source as my supply. Whether or not you have any proof of this, make the claim. Trust the universe. The universe is operating for you and not against you. That in and of itself can be an affirmation. The universe is operating for me, not against me. So this is a practice, and these are some ways to do a daily practice, focusing on one element at a time. So now I want to go into a challenging aspect of this, and that is acceptance. Because all of us have a place in our life where we're perhaps not accepting life as it is unfolding for us. Because acceptance does not mean that you like everything that's happening, that you have to like every circumstance or agree with every experience. It's about acknowledging that this is the reality. This is how life is for me right now, not how, and it may not be how you wish it would be. But there's a magical thing about acceptance. It's saying, yes, this is what's happening to me right now, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's painful, but it doesn't mean you're resigned to it. But the acceptance is what opens the door up to more freedom, because it's letting go of the fighting, the resistance, the struggling, the judgment, the inner turmoil, and that keeps us separated from love. So there's a willingness to flow with whatever life is bringing, because it takes you beyond the field of preference into a more expansive experience. It helps us move through challenges with more of an open heart. It makes space for love to come through even in uncomfortable and painful experiences. My most recent story about acceptance is one you might be familiar with. I wonder how many of you, like me, in Dr. Andrea's final year with us as our senior minister, said, "How come she just can't stay? She seems to be doing fine. Why? So I had the privilege of being able to work with her last year before her retirement, and we would have weekly times as I was getting to know the beautiful people here and this community, and I would meet bumps in the road or challenges in the road, and I'd go to Dr. Andrea and say, "Any suggestions?" And she would have a beautiful thing to tell me, something more about the background, more about the people, wisdom based on 13 years of ministry here, building this community. It was so helpful to me, really helped me broaden my understanding and my place in the community. And so part of me was going, like I said, "Can't you just stick around? This is really helpful to me as a person." And yet I know, a part of me knew as the year was concluding, it was time. There was something else for her to do. There was something else for me to do. We had individual journeys on individual paths. And that helped me move into this year with a loving attitude, with a adventurous attitude, which with the idea of let's walk this path together, all of us. And that's the spaciousness, that's the love beyond being the preference point. So each one of us have gone through challenges or losses, health crises, loss of dear people in our life, financial challenges, losses of jobs, family disagreements, whatever these are, it's like a training field to use these four elements of love with the addition of acceptance of what is, because it makes space for love beyond preferences. So how do you want to actively practice love this week? Not as a platitude, not as a comforting phrase, but as something you actually live, consciously choose to live. You might seek out certain people, certain types of experiences, certain spaces where you can intentionally embody these four elements of love. Because practice is what moves us beyond our comfort zone and into the edges of our capacity to love. And that's what grows us. That's what evolves us. But we are all capable of doing this. And it's growth, and it's worth the effort. We become more expansive beings in this practice. And if this feels right, find a friend to do this with. Maybe your spouse, maybe a family member, maybe a dear friend who is on a similar path as you. Sometimes it's more fun to do it with someone else and then talk about your experiences. And come up and talk to me throughout the month. Let me know what your experiences are. I'd love to share that. So I'm now going to share a second practice for us. It's more of an internal practice. So this is more external. And now I'll do internal. And it's a love meditation practice. First, I'm going to tell you a story about how I used it. So last week, I have a lovely little dog, a Shih Tzu poodle mix. And his name is Frankie. And Frankie had a plumbing problem. His pipes were not flowing, let's just say. And I knew, while it wasn't fatal, this was going to get serious if I didn't do something fast. So we went to the emergency vet. I don't know if any of you have been to the emergency vet in Mount Vernon, but it's a highly used resource, let's just say. So there were like 8 dogs ahead of us. But we got a quick triage with the vet tech, who unplugged the problem, which then developed a second problem, which was the flow was happening. So I was sitting there. We did go outside to do what we could with that. But I was sitting there in the waiting room with a very unhappy dog. And the other pet owners who were there were all very patiently waiting, because we'd been told this is going to take several hours. And so the vet tech said, I can fix your dog, we can clean him up and all that, but it's going to take, I got to triage all these 8 dogs ahead of you. So, okay. and as I said, the other people were beautifully patient, but a family came in. Their dog had just been bitten by another dog. It was very dramatic, very crisis, blood, 2 little children. The children had not eaten dinner. And so there was a vending machine full of sugary and salty snacks. And pretty soon, this was happening. Lots of energy, lots of kids running around, all that stuff. So the vet took their dog back, came back with a bill for $1,200. And that dad lost it. So, this is way too much money. I'd never spend this kind of money for a dog. And profanity. Until he certainly had every one of our attention. And the receptionist said, sir, please mind your language. Went into prayer and meditation like that. So I used this love meditation, which we'll do together. And lo and behold, I could feel the shift. I could feel things calming down. I could feel relief. And he went and talked to the receptionist, and who was wonderful, by the way. And he ratcheted down and eventually apologized to her for his use of language. The vet tech came back with a much lower cost possibility, and so they did that. And it brought in a new energy in the world, in that room, the world of that room. So it's important for us to be awake and aware in our world, and that we can contribute to increasing the good of people around us through the consciousness we're holding and emitting into the world. So let me teach you this love meditation, if you're willing. You can do it for each one of the 4 qualities. I'm just today going to be doing it with the love, the first of the love qualities. And it's an internal meditation. So I always ask people to uncross anything that is crossed. And close your eyes if closing your eyes feel good, or just go unfocus. And we'll take 3 breaths in, breathing in and releasing. Just feeling yourself supported by your chair. Breathing in and releasing. Feel yourself deeply connected to the earth, to the planet, that you are grounded. And take a moment to fill your mind with love. Experiences of love you've had, people you love, animals, pets, places on the planet that you love. Just remember all of your beautiful feelings and experiences where you felt deeply, deeply loving. And empty your mind of any thoughts or any emotions, any anger, any hatred. Just be. Then in your mind's eye, take this feeling you're having and let it move out of you, first from your front and then to the left and then to the right, and then let that feeling move out from behind you. Let that feeling move up through the top of your head. Let that feeling move down you into the planet. This is your mind in the consciousness of love. And it's a very wide, powerful love. And it can grow immeasurably until it eventually embraces the whole world. So now, let it embrace your beloved ones in your life. Those that are with you now, those who may have passed earlier. Just bring them into your mind's eye. And now let's broaden that out to this beautiful spiritual community, this Center for Spiritual Living in Bellingham. Let's spread love out to all who are part of or feel connected to this community. Waves and waves of love. And in your mind's eye, broaden that even further out to the city of Bellingham, to the oceans, to the Salish Sea, to the Pacific, to all of the life forms. See it move across our dear country, lighting up, adding love to every aspect of our country. Moving out now to surround the globe itself, the world itself. We're permeating the whole world with our mind that is filled with love. Wide, far, unbound, free from hatred, sending it out in all directions like waves of sound or light, like a pure white cloud enveloping the world. And just let yourself feel your desire for all living beings to be happy. Your intention to love. This desire to love enters your feelings, your perceptions, your mental thoughts, your consciousness. It permeates all that you are. And then it manifests through you in your actions, your speech, your activities. Just imagine this love moving through you in the way you are in the world, what you're doing in the world, how you're speaking in the world. And we see that the events that happen to us are filled with love. Imagine that the people and the experiences you are having are filled with love. And that wave of love determines even our future actions. They're directed by our will, which is now a will infused with love. And that becomes the energy that drives our actions and how we speak and connect and be with others. And I ask you now just to take a step in, another breath, breathing in and releasing. And come back to this time and this place. And as you feel ready, open your eyes, move your hands and your feet, and welcome back. Thank you for that gift to the world. One way to think about that is you can stop being a source of suffering in the world and become a reservoir of joy and happiness. You are this. We are this together. Thank you.